is my pleasure to introduce Sally Durrell, our speaker for today.
Sally is originally from Missouri, but has lived in Arizona since 1979. So I think that almost lets her qualify as a native Arizonan. She has been married to her husband, John, for 50 years, and they have one daughter, Kelly. Sally has been involved in United Methodist Women for 50 years and has been very active in the last 25 years. She has held many offices at the local, district, and conference levels and says she has become a stronger Christian because of her involvement. Sally is currently completing her term as president of the Central West District UMW. Sally, we welcome you to Willowbrook's UMW Sunday.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here on this beautiful day, and I think we can all enjoy a little bit of the cool weather we're getting. I hope it continues. I want to thank Cheryl and the Willowbrook UMW for asking me to speak today. It is definitely my pleasure to be here, and I hope I can give you just a little bit of some of the things that UMW, United Methodist Women, is all about. As Barb said in the scripture that she read, that she was talking about the woman who poured the expensive perfume over Jesus' head, she was a woman of action and faith, just as we as United Methodist Women strive to be. She saw the need for Jesus to be honored, and even if it meant breaking cultural taboos and risking her most precious possession, she was not letting that stop her. When we take on a mission project, we look through the eyes of faith to see what the need is around us, in our groups, church, community, country, and the world. We then look to see what our talents are, our resources and creativity are, and then we listen to the call of God. Sometimes this means we break with traditions and to honor Christ by addressing the needs that we see. During the 2012 General Conference in Florida, it was voted that the United Methodist Women would no longer be connected to the General Board of Global Ministries. This means that United Methodist Women will go forward with the same power we have always gone. Our mission commitment remains the same: to help women, children, and youth. While the way we organize to accomplish our mission goals will improve. Since our founding almost 150 years ago, the work of each organization is focused on the mission set for us by Jesus Christ and as expressed through our purpose and lived out through our vision. We said the purpose earlier, and this provides the foundation for the work and witness of United Methodist Women. These words give us reason for being an organization of lay women for mission. Our vision sharpens and energizes the purpose to remain vital in the years to come. The vision was inspired by 1 Thessalonians 1:4, which says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you." The vision describes the United Methodist Women organization that is turning faith, hope, and love into action on behalf of women and children. Our Response magazine is published every other month, And in it, we can find many, many stories that dollars are used to go to help women, children, and youth in the United States and around the world. We focus on those who need us most. We feed, house, clothe, and nurture women, children, and youth all over the world. 95% of our annual pledge goes to mission within the borders of the United States. We have almost 100 national institutions which our monies go to help. And I'm going to give you just a few instances and stories about where our mission money has helped. The first one is the McCurdy School in New Mexico. And when John and I lived in that area, I was fortunate enough to go visit that school, and it is amazing what they do. It's in the Espanola area where drugs and alcohol abuse are very common. Lori Valdez, a McCurdy School graduate, says McCurdy changed her life. Oliver Galvin wanted to drop out of school and run with the gangs. With no other options available to his parents, they sent him to McCurdy School to save his life. And Oliver is now a med student at the University of New Mexico. Destin Wolfel, he came from a single-parent home and was far behind in school and was failing eighth grade. Oliver graduated from McCurdy, and he held a 3.5 average and was vice president of the school's National Honor Society. These are just some of the things that our monies help. Another is the Westlake Community Center, which I'm sure most of you know about because we hear a lot about Westlake. This was started in 1950, and today it provides medical care, after-school and summer programs, community education, and emergency food assistance in primarily Hispanic families living in downtown Phoenix. With God's grace and community support, the center, a United Methodist women-supported national mission institution, continues to grow, serve, and adapt to the changing Phoenix area. They now have a Wesley Health Center and have just acquired Golden Gate. And I have not visited Golden Gate, but I do understand that it is doing great things to help the community where it is located. And Wesley Center is the only national institution that we have in Arizona. So that's quite an honor for us to have that here. Another one is the Alma Matthews House in Manhattan, New York. And it is a nonprofit hotel and conference center with affordable accommodations for all nonprofit organizations. In 1888, Alma Matthews House served as a home for immigrant women and girls in the early 20th century. From 1888 to 1926, the namesake, Alma Matthews, worked with new immigrants arriving in New York City and provided a place for them to stay and a place to eat while they looked for employment. The Carolyn Williams Center takes in those teens who are aging out of foster care. John, at the age of 6, was placed in foster care when his father went to prison after he killed John's mother. John was in and out of 15 foster homes during his growing years. John was kicked out of many schools because he was rebellious, angry, hurt, embarrassed, and we can all imagine why. But did you know when a foster child reaches age 18 years of age, he is aged out of the foster care and is placed on the street on his or her own with only the few items belonging to them. The system failed John. He had been taught no job skills. He had nowhere to live, and he had no money. John lived on the streets, homeless and jobless, for a year before he was told about the Carolyn Williams Center in Houston, Texas. This gave him a place to live, sleep, and go to school to learn a vocation. He valued his three meals a day, classes to complete his GED, and the support he needed to get through his training for a career. He was given spiritual guidance and a will to move on, and inspiration to succeed at all he does. Today, John is living comfortably in Texas and attributes his success to the Lord Jesus, who was the guiding force through it all, and the United Methodist women who supported him when no one else would. The last one I'm going to tell you about is the Gum Moon Women's Residence in San Francisco, California. Gum Moon's Women Residence was founded in 1868 to help meet the ever-changing needs and developments of the Asian immigrant community. Gum Moon provides affordable housing for single women in socioeconomic and geographic transition. They come from diverse backgrounds, and Gum Moon strives to help them build community with social activities such as potlucks or outdoor field trips. They also provide support services for women recovering from domestic violence. When I was at jurisdictional several years ago, I was fortunate to get to take a tour of Gum Moon. And it was amazing and how the women all worked together. They all had their jobs to do. Some cooked, some cleaned. And it really was a great place to go. I'm going to have to take a drink of water. Sorry, my throat is really dry. We are involved in many social events. Right now, we are focusing on human trafficking, domestic violence, immigration reform, and climate change. Human trafficking is important, and it is happening in epidemic proportions right here in Phoenix. I think there are many people that are not even aware of this terrible thing that is happening to so many young people. We are trying to help people be aware of this by our social events. And when we have social events, it is put on by United Methodist Women. But we always hope that the church congregations will be encouraged to come, because that is one way that you can learn about these things that are happening to people right here. I'm sure you probably heard about the human trafficking rally that we did during Super Bowl week. So those are things. But we've also had issues, social events on domestic violence and immigration reform. And this year we're going to be hearing more about the climate change. As I close, I want to ask you, did you know that United Methodist Women will be 150 years old in 2019? We are already starting to celebrate this. There is a legacy fund set up for anyone to donate if they so want to. The monies collected are to be used to help United Methodist Women continue to grow as they have for the last 150 years. We are a vital organization, and we want to be able to continue to do the work we are doing now for another 150 years. I hope I have given you some insight on what we do in our United Methodist Women organization and what some of our missions are. Again, I want to thank you for asking me to speak. It has been wonderful to be here and with you on your United Methodist Women's Sunday, and it is always a pleasure to be in any church and see so many United Methodist women. Thank you again.